We are speaking with Sean O'Hanlon. And Sean, once again, could you give us your title, please?
I'm the Executive Director of the American Biofuels Council and host of Pure Energy Radio, which will be starting Monday, July 13th.
And that's what we're here to talk about is Pure Energy Radio, a new radio show, which I assume has to do with energy. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Kenny, we're going to talk about all forms of energy, and we're going to focus primarily on the business side of alternatives and renewables. Most people have spent a great deal of time focusing on clean, green, and sustainable, and have pretty much overlooked the economic side of it, overlooked job creation, overlooked the cost savings and cost competitiveness of it, and the ability for people not only to save money, but the opportunity for people to invest in various technologies and companies and sectors in renewables.
Well, all of those are important and very timely topics, I guess. Now, tell us about this radio show, where and when it's going to air.
It is going to be live from 6 to 7 p.m. on Mondays. That's Eastern Time. The radio station is in Miami. It is on AM 880, which is the Biz, and it can be listened online by going to pureenergyshow.com or 880thebiz.com and listening. And also, I've been told that there's applications now for smartphones. So for somebody who has a BlackBerry or an iPhone, they can listen that way as well if they're not in their car or in front of a computer.
Well, that's cool. Now, is it you're hosting the show? Is this going to be a call-in show then?
Absolutely, yeah. Looking forward to audience involvement and participation and questions. One of our very first guests, as a matter, actually, is Robert Zubrin, who wrote Energy Victory, and is a real big proponent for fuel choice, which is one of the components to energy security, which I think is vital. And I think it's something that not enough people have heard, and I don't think people have heard enough.
Well, and there's certainly, you have a whole a wealth of topics that you can hit on here. It's great that this is airing in such a major metropolitan area, too, outside of the Midwest, where you're going to be able to get the message about biofuels, especially out in the metropolitan Miami area.
Exactly. And kind of the marvelous thing that has happened already is in the past 2 weeks, we've gotten calls, inquiries from Atlanta, Chicago, Detroit, Houston, New York, and as far away as Buenos Aires, Argentina.
So is there a possibility, besides it being online, of the program being syndicated?
That is something that has already been talked about, and I'm certainly looking forward to it. It's exciting, it's fun, and it's you know, aside from that, it's certainly going to be informative and entertaining.
Well, and the cool thing about it is it's definitely a timely topic, and to my knowledge, there isn't a program like that already going.
That was something that actually surprised us as well. When we started looking into this, to our amazement, we could not find another show like it anywhere else, which was really surprising.
Well, it is exciting. And once again, the debut date for Pure Energy is Monday, July 13th. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
All right, good. Well, thank you very much, Sean O'Hanlon, the host now of Pure Energy Radio. I'm Cindy Zimmerman. I'm speaking with Dr. Robert Zubrin, who is the author of Energy Victory, and he will be the first guest on the Pure Energy Show, making its debut on July 13th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on radio station 880 The Biz, KZAB in Miami. And Dr. Zubrin, the first question I'd like to ask you is, what do you think about a new radio show focused on alternative energy airing in a major metropolitan area like Miami, Florida?
I think it's a great thing. I think it'd be better if we had a network of such in every city across the country, because for America to break free of the oil cartel is essential for our future, and people everywhere need to know how we can do it.
Now, as the first guest on Pure Energy, what are the topics that you're going to address?
Well, first and foremost, I'm going to talk about how America can break free of the oil cartel, and why we must, and how we can do it. There's a fairly straightforward way for Congress to essentially destroy the power of OPEC, not only over America, but over every country in the world. And that is for the United States Congress to pass a law requiring that all new cars sold in the USA, not made in the USA, sold in the USA, a fully flex fuel that is able to run equally well on gasoline, methanol, or ethanol. This will make flex fuel the international standard. It will, within a very few years, put hundreds of millions of cars on the road, not just in the U.S., but all over the world, capable of running on alternate fuels, and that will break the vertical monopoly that they have. With a market like that, you'll see filling stations everywhere for E85 and M85 made from whether it's corn in Iowa or sugar in Brazil or coal in Poland to make methanol. Doesn't matter. The point is that there'll be alternatives, and that destroys the monopoly power. That's what we need. And then I'm also going to be talking about this issue of indirect effects that has been brought to bear by the stooges of the oil cartel against ethanol in particular in this country, and showing why that's a complete farce.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about indirect land use effects and changes, and especially international. It's become such a hot issue in the biofuels industry. You wrote a great article published in Roll Call, and one of your thoughts related to how if you hold biofuels to the standard of indirect land uses, then just about everything else could be held accountable as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
The argument was made by Tim Sturchinger, who is a staff attorney with the Environmental Defense Fund. His previous claim to fame of the Environmental Defense Fund is banning the use of DDT in Africa so that millions of people can die of malaria every year. The argument was made that ethanol is causing global warming, that is American corn ethanol, because while substituting ethanol for gasoline in the United States actually reduces global warming, by reducing the amount of American corn that's being dumped on third world countries, we're encouraging the growth of agriculture there, and thus deforestation and thus global warming. Well, in point of fact, encouraging the growth of agriculture in the third world is a good thing, not a bad thing. It should not be American policy to try to cramp the economic growth of poor countries. But furthermore, even if you were to adopt such a malevolent point of view, the victims in this case would not just be the third world, it would be Americans, because in point of fact, anything that increases the ability of Americans to buy anything that is increases American living standards in any respect whatsoever also causes the expansion of third world agriculture. That is to say, if an American has more money in his or her pocket, they can buy more groceries. And if you go to the grocery store and you buy food, and it doesn't matter whether that food is grown in the U.S. or abroad, if you buy food, you're bidding up the price of agricultural produce internationally. Okay? If you buy an American orange, that bids up the price of American oranges, and therefore that of South American oranges that compete with them. And And if you bid up the price of agricultural produce internationally, then obviously you're going to encourage the growth of agriculture internationally, both here and in the third world, and thus deforestation. So therefore, should we therefore seek to depress the salaries of Americans? Should we therefore seek to increase unemployment so as to reduce the amount of groceries that Americans should buy? Should we therefore encourage toxic pollution in the United States, so that Americans will have to pay more for their medical bills and have less available to buy groceries, or better yet, die so they can't buy any groceries? I mean, is this the sort of policy we're supposed to promote? Because if you adopt the standard of indirect effects, then basically anything that is good, anything that increases employment or incomes or health or education has to be deemed unacceptable. So it's a crazy policy. It's absolutely crazy, and it needs to be rejected.
That is Dr. Robert Zubrin, who is the author of Energy Victory, and you can catch him live Monday, July 13th on KZAB 880 The Biz, Miami, Florida, also live on the web at pureenergyshow.com. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.